Welcome, everybody, to The Rad Life, the only talk radio show that takes you along with host and age explorer Rod Gontos on his continuing journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older. The Rad Life is brought to you this week by Your Home for a Lifetime, a company dedicated to empowering you to stay safely, independently, and comfortably in your own home. And now here is your host, Rad Gontos.
Can you hear me, Paul?
I can hear you, but I don't know if I'm picking up your frequency today here. The vibe in here is distinctly too cool for me.
If people have been paying attention, which I doubt they have, for the opening intro of the show, it says, comfortably in your home. Well, the first home you have is the clothes that you wear, the skin that's on your back.
I see.
Right? And being comfortable in your own skin, marching to your own drum, and if you're happy lucky enough, I guess, and in the know, then you know a certain gentleman by the name of Dave Welsh, down off Red Hill.
The man with the plan.
The man with the plan, referred to by the yes. inside crowd as the godfather of clothes. I think I just named him. That's actually pretty good.
I think
good.
So.
Dave, I'm sorry. If you don't like that, we'll change it.
Going back to, though, that Boogie Nights kind of look here.
No. Don't give it away. Okay. That's Paul off to the side.
Anyway.
That's Paul off to the side because he's not appropriately attired for the show.
That's
okay.
Right.
But basically, not even cargo pants today, god dang it. What the heck? Okay.
I love it.
We are trying something different here today.
I like that. Have you ever seen that one commercial where the guy is calling his agent late at night and his wife comes out and says, who are you talking to? And she says, I'm talking to, I don't know, Allstate or something. And she's like, oh, yeah. So what are you wearing, Allstate? And he goes, khakis. And I was like, that's my life story right there. Cargo pants and khakis.
Funny.
That's it.
That's pretty funny. So the thing about this is this. We have said that this show is about a journey of aging. And about the same time that I did the show, when we started doing the show, I actually also had come into contact with Dave Welsh at bespokestyle.com. And through him, have met a group of amazing gentlemen and ladies that are all driven, that are all on their own journey through life, and that march their own drums.
And are pulling together different threads.
And are putting together different threads. I like that. See, he comes around.
Once in a while.
So one of the first people I met, and I thought if we're going to start this segment, it's the man that I have to start up with, is Mr. Brandon Moody sitting across the way from me. Hey, Brandon.
Hey now.
And I wanted to share both the caliber of people that I've encountered through Bespoke, but also these people that are movers and shakers in Orange County. And it's all about life's journey. And we've touched on pursuit of passion, following following your heart, doing stuff. And a lot of these people are very multifaceted, and they do a lot of stuff. And part of it is their work, and part of it is their volunteerism, and part of them their commitment to community and making things better. And
And can I explain one thing before you go much further here? I had to go look up, when you first started talking about it, the word bespoke. You all are European in your outlook here. You use these words that are very common in England, but very uncommon here. Bespoke means what? Custom, basically, right? Isn't that a fancy word for custom?
That's exactly what it means there, Paul. Bespoke, our man Dave Welch here has really customized and personalized the fitting process of really creating a suit for you that really really elaborates on your own personality, really elaborates on your own style, your own charisma, your own feel, your own swagger, and really allows you to be able to live through your threads.
And is this a bespoke creation that we're here?
Yes. This is a bespoke creation. This is one of our latest that Dave and I worked on. And
how about Rad's wild red and blue? What style would you call that there? What's the trend? What's the defining
vision? Is that one of
vision?
The bamboo ones there? Right.
It is one of the bamboo ones, and it's a bamboo fabric, but we're basically actually talking about, we're deliberating whether it's salmon or watermelon.
or salmon that had some watermelon.
Watermelon.
Yeah. selling the consumer.
And I have to ask you guys one thing, seriously, in all seriousness. I grew up in the 60s, as evidenced by my 60s hippie, you know, ex-hippie kind of vibe clothing that I wear here. And in my generation, it was cool to not be well-dressed. We had to rip our jeans. We had to beat them up. We wore only our old army jackets and stuff here. We did not, there was nothing new. There was no, and my father was horrified. He was a very well-dressed man, an executive, always had lots of made suits for him and stuff here. That Rat Pack image versus my image seems to have reversed. And the Rat Pack image of the stylish, cool-looking, well-dressed guy has returned in spades, and I am wondering, is this just a throwback to that era? Is this a response to my generation's anti-fashion vibe? Or why is it that all these young hip guys are suddenly getting sharp again here?
I think it's a sense of self, and I think it's a sense of comfort in your own skin. You see it across age groups, which is kind of an interesting thing. It's not limited to certain people of certain ages only. That have, you know, and I think it's reflected not just in clothing, but it's also reflected in pride in what you do, in just, you know, sort of your physical upkeep. And Brandon is a perfect example of that. You know, just basically your health, your wellness, your nutrition, your skin, your all of this stuff. And we live in a time when that stuff isn't considered, you know, non-masculine to basically care about yourself that way. So the clothing aspect of it is, you say, almost like a final layer of that, and you can see people carry themselves, and it doesn't have to be custom clothing. The people just carry themselves in a certain way, and you pick up on that.
Well, we've returned to the idea of barbershops and male grooming, and my son-in-law, who's 25, 26, or whatever he is, you know, he's really has to go get a haircut every weekend, and you know, always well-dressed, always sharp-looking, always has a nice cologne on and stuff here. I mean, he just, all of these things are very important about who he is and how he carries himself in the world. And I thought, man, that's what my father was like. But it missed us somewhere in that my generation just was completely anti all that stuff. I don't wear cologne.
Well, I mean,
that was what my dad wore.
I'll let Brandon answer that same question. I mean, what do you think? Why?
I don't think that it ever really went anywhere. I think that in tighter circles, those particular gentlemen were still practicing the art of style. They were still practicing the art of masculinity, of still staying true to the gentleman arts of taking care of oneself, of keeping the hygiene a huge priority. And the hygiene for us men include shaving, you know, include barbering and hairstyling, include men's fashion. And, you know, formal, even black tie fashion. And, you know, especially being here in Orange County with so many philanthropical organizations that are doing things like galas and, you know, ballroom nights and different types of events and organizations, it really gives us the opportunity to be able to showcase our own personal style and flair through our clothing and our apparel. So if you're not doing it nowadays, you're really doing yourself a disservice by not showcasing your own personal flair through your apparel and through your fabrics and threads and things.
I think it also there's an added element that we live in a world that is very two things: curated, I think, to a certain extent, and a world that's very visual. And brand, you know, your personal brand is a big part of it. Regardless, it's always, I think, been, you know, your style, if you want to call it, or your personal brand maybe is a newer term for it, but I think it's always been there. I think it's just that maybe in the past it wasn't such a high visibility.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that being said, I think some people that are more conscious about that, more conscious about wanting to present sort of the best impression, to carry themselves in a certain way, they have that form of expression now that they can actually do. I mean, I agree with you, what Brandon said about it never going away. I mean, Paul, you can look back probably, you know, you could argue that, you know, people when they're in sort of on the dating scene, they kind of take care of that kind of stuff and it's sort of natural, but it's no longer the case only on that. It's now anybody. Fatherhood, another thing with Brandon, you know, it's more. How old is your son?
Jaden just turned 1 year old.
Right. So you made a decision when you had your first
Yep.
Right?
I never, ever once thought that I would, you know, be semi-retired at the age of 33 years old, you know.
Stay-at-home
but
dad.
I took the option to be a full-time father. And
good for you.
You know, I still, you know, teach a couple classes of cycling, you know, a couple times a week at Full Cycle down in Mission Viejo mm-hmm. at the mall. And, you know, other than that, you know, I really strive to be able to, with my free time, just help individuals get to places that they want to go.
And for those who don't know you, what did you do before that? Before you had
I ran a marketing firm, Smart Levels Media, for the past here in Irvine for the past 10 years. Had an integral part of the firm for the past 15. Really helping and assisting the directors of marketing at a very early age with a lot of the early promotions with the company. A lot of those promotions were grassroots, so a lot of flyering and a lot of targeted advertising towards the nightlife and the automotive industry. And really helping them extend themselves into the marketplace and into the professional arena here after moving to Irvine about 10 years ago from the city of Orange. Mm-hmm. My main task was integrating us into the local chambers of commerce, integrating us into networking groups and the right types of circles that we would thrive at selling high quality printing and high quality marketing materials too. Mm-hmm.
And did you get into that field consciously? Is something that you
100%, 100%. You know, we started the company based off of a handful of us that were involved in graphic design.
Mm-hmm.
Literally helping our friends and colleagues that were in the nightlife industry with their quarter page flyers and with their promotions and for their nightlife gigs, for their car shows and things like that. Just simply having being able to assist our friends with a professional service that we were looking to offer. You know,
and you were raised in Orange County.
I was. Yeah, I was born right here in a Hoag Hospital in Newport Beach.
So interesting, Paul. You know that when you talk about it, Orange
I think
County
they have a plaque in Hoag Hospital where he was born, right there.
Right.
If not, they will one day.
Yeah.
That just shows to show you, right? I mean, we talk about Orange County being sort of this very conservative, very you know, like bedroom community, and here's a gentleman that basically had a decade of a career basically supporting, you know, like nightlife and entertainment and mm-hmm. stuff like that in this sort of, so to speak, bedroom community. This very conservative sort of community where now we're talking about, you know, having a fashion industry, and the Kathy Moreno from OC Fashion Week will tell you the fashion industry in Orange County, the volume of sales, you know, like rivals London and Paris.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge market. And so here's sleepy Orange County. Right? Kind of really kind of shocking people a little bit with that.
I don't think we are sleepy anymore. I think it really has changed a lot in the last 10 years. And I think all the TV shows that came out from Laguna Beach to The Real Housewives to everything else showed a whole side of hip, cool Orange County that shook off that image forever here. We're that center of the gaming industry here, Blizzard, and all these types of things here.
Right.
We've center of the virtual reality business, too.
Mm-hmm. Oculus here in town.
Yeah.
Oculus, exactly.
So there's a lot of, we've certainly been the center of surfware for forever.
Mm-hmm.
We've certainly been the center of medical device technology.
Which, again, ties into that aspect of health and well-being and aging longer and aging healthier and quality mm-hmm. of life. I mean, it is pretty interesting. You know, we started off talking about, you know, sort of the flashiness of, you know, clothing and stuff like that. But if you really think about it, we live in an environment that you are very self-conscious in a good way. It's not, I don't know that it's ego-based, it's more of a pride-based. And then basically everything that you touch, especially if you, you know, I mean, we wouldn't have this conversation about attire, for example, if we were talking about business attire, right? If we were talking mm-hmm. about some corporate environment where you basically presented a certain look, whatever, we wouldn't be talking about that. So the fact that we are self-employed or that you are not maybe fitting that corporate structure doesn't mean anything.
But I think that we also need to recognize that is also another valid opportunity to be able to showcase your own personal style is in that professional environment where you do have the opportunity of, if you could be in a black, all black, off the rack coat, you know, suit, instead dressing it up with a pair of, you know, stretch denim and a sport coat, you know, which is equally acceptable in the right. workplace, but definitely allows you to be able to showcase a little more of that flair and that swagger in the same aspect.
The right pocket square, the, you know.
Yes, sir.
I mean, I have stuff in my closet from my father, you know, vintage ties that I have from my father that have a nostalgic component to them. Mm-hmm. I have things that I've never, you know, I've had in college that I still wear that I had a kind of an affinity to. And I got stuff that basically is on order. So I think it's very much a reflection of your persona. And we live in a time where it's okay to do that. Nobody looks at it as an oddity at all. In fact, it's just another form of self-expression.
That's for sure.
Wherever my father is, he's smiling down, looking upon this conversation, saying, see, I told you.
Told you so.
When I turned about 16 or 18, somewhere around there, he took me out to his tailor. He had a tailor that made suits for him. He never bought anything off the rack. Mm-hmm. And he was very stylish. And more of that kind of Rat Pack image, you know, the well-dressed man and the little pinky ring and all that, you know, kind of cool look that era, the Mad Men era. And so he took me out and he tried to instruct me in the ways of manhood here, you know, the how to get a suit and how to pick a suit and how to wear a suit. It just missed me, the whole thing. I guess I was just so resistant to. I'm the, you know, we're going to change the whole revolution. We're going to change the world. So I became anti-fashion. And so many of my friends did, really. I mean, we wore old, crappy clothes just because that somehow set us apart from that style. And I think it went too far, to the point where now you see it even in the world. There aren't restaurants that require suit and ties anymore. There were in my dad's era. They would have jackets available if you dared come in without one.
That's for sure. I've been to some establishments like that before, you know, and ties. They'll have ties on hand.
Yeah.
Give you a loaner tie.
So I think in some way, you know, we found our way back to fashion after the years of my generation sort of dismissing it and butchering it and trying to ignore it and be anti-fashion. You know, we were anti-heroes, anti-fashion. I mean, I think there was certainly always an element there, but we fought against it. And now I marvel at how younger people, I'm in my 60s, you know, people like my son-in-law, man, they have just rediscovered this world of style. And they're taking it in ways I never thought of. It doesn't follow any preset pattern. They are all inventing their own style and mixing and matching jeans and suits and crazy things like this. And you see celebrities. When I worked in the celebrity business in the 80s, you know, it wasn't that driven by, you didn't have to have a personal stylist to be a movie star, but it was starting to happen that way. I remember working with the Police and with David Lee Roth's band, and they were really into having a certain look on stage, and they had to carry that with them all the time, to the point where they couldn't come up with it anymore. They were starting to hire personal stylists. That didn't exist in the 70s and the
80s. So what would you say your personal style is?
Man, my personal style is
or can you define it even?
I don't think it can truly be defined, but it's definitely a culmination of a couple of things, because of the fact that I'm a true athlete, and I spend at least a couple hours of my day in some type of compression or shorts or you know, some type of moisture wicking fabric, light fabric, you know. A lot of that tends to be some of my favorites from Lululemon. You know, I love their polo shirts and their compression, their tight stuff compression. So that's definitely a large part of my style is athletic wear. You know, I work very, very hard for my body, so I don't necessarily feel like I'm always covering it up, especially when I'm working out. Mm-hmm. So it's usually a lot of tank tops. Mm-hmm. I wear shorter shorts. I wear a lot of compression. Especially for OCR races and things like that, where you got snags and you got barbed wire and things like that.
So have you always been like that, Brendan?
Have I always been like that? Have I always been one of those athletes?
Yeah,
100%. You know, in high school, you know, actually one of the staple men in the fitness community right now, my boy Hitman Huseman, is also one of our Bespoke boys.
Sure.
Him and I ran the 4x100 relay back at Catella High School in Anaheim. And, you know, we were varsity relay sprinters. Way back in the day there. And I think it really started there. It started even, years before there, when my parents got me involved into Lutheran school, because in Lutheran school we started interscholastic sports at about fourth grade, mm-hmm. where most kids usually get involved in interscholastic sports through Little League or some type of extracurricular thing that their parents are putting them mm-hmm. through, whether it be a Little League or soccer or JUSA or something like that. I really got to engage in running track and field and running cross-country track at the age of fourth grade at Prince of Peace Lutheran School in Anaheim. So that really gave me the competitive edge of learning team sports mm-hmm. and learning interscholastic sports mm-hmm. from a grade student level instead of having to wait until you got into junior high or high school level or your parents opting you into Little League or swimming right. or something like that.
But when did you become a sharp dresser? If I went back and looked at your high school yearbook, would people say, hey, this guy was a sharp dresser?
That's for sure. That's for sure. Because, you know, Paul, I got involved into the professional arena at a very, very early age. I started working with the Hardin family, really the first automotive family to bring automotive dealerships here to Orange County, Hardin mm-hmm. Oldsmobile, mm-hmm. Back in downtown Anaheim. I forgot whether they were on Anaheim Boulevard or Harbor back in the day. But they had a dealership in Anaheim by the name of Hardin Honda. And I was just flipping through the phone book. I was, into fast cars and always have been. And I was looking through the phone book and came across their dealership. And I looked them up and asked if they had any positions available. And they had a greeter position available.
How old were you?
I was 16 years old. Yeah, it was the same year that we started.
To be a greeter at a car dealership?
Yeah, to be a greeter at a car dealership. Go out and shake people's hands that were walking on the lot, you know. And I would go out there and shake their hand and say, "Hi, I'm Brandon. You know, welcome to Hardin Honda." And
you know, what were you like, a bird dog? You had to hand them over to somebody. Here?
Exactly. Right. So because I was 16 years old and I didn't have a vehicle salesperson's permit, right. I had to kind of turn it over to somebody who was old enough to be able to handle the deal all the way throughout the delivery process. But it really gave me an opportunity to be able to learn how to be able to deal with individuals and the different types of individuals that you encounter throughout the course of your day, but on a face to face level. Not over the phone or over email.
I can't imagine going onto a car lot, seeing a 16-year-old kid approach me and say, "Hey, what are you here for? Hey, can I help you?" or whatever. I'd be like, "Get out of here, kid."
And believe it or not, Paul, I still had the same similar look. I still had dreadlocks down my back. I still had, I don't know if I had my nose piercing then, but I still had a unique look. And, they still allowed me to have that look, and even though I got grief throughout the athletics program because of our, males couldn't have their hair past their mm-hmm. collar mm-hmm. in high school, which is the craziest thing. But I still got grief at high school about it, but I didn't get any grief.
So where do you think that confidence comes from, Brandon?
Truly, I think that confidence comes from my grandmother. My grandmother I went to lunch with her a couple nights ago, or dinner with her a couple nights ago. She's still now one of the top ranking Avon ladies on the West Coast.
Avon lady. Okay. All right.
Yeah,
there you go.
Believe it or not. And my grandma was one of those women.
You got a hustle to sell Avon.
That's it. And she was one of those women to where she would talk to people in the grocery store line and she still does. She'll chat up a storm with anybody and everybody. And, she was telling me a story just on Monday night when she was here and said, "Hey, it's so funny, my grandfather would ask her, so, hey, did you know that guy that she was chit-chatting with in the grocery store line?" And she'd mm-hmm. be like, "No, I just met him," and she's chit-chatting with him like a neighbor that she's known for years or something, and that's just kind of the gift of gab that my grandmother has. And it's really not even necessarily a gift of gab, because a gift of gab is kind of salesy, what mm-hmm. I mean? You kind of think of like Zig Ziglar, like mm-hmm. the gift of gab, mm-hmm. But my grandma's gift of gab was truly just like, just warm and wanting to know how she could truly help you, and if she had anything in her toolbox to where she could help you, or anybody that she knew that she could pass off to you as a good referral, then she would. And I think that's really kind of where that outgoing persona, extroverted nature really came from, was through my grandmother and my mom. They were just outstanding extroverted women who were just always just out to just kind of lend a helping hand.
So weren't you ever tempted by the dark side to cut the hair, put on the gray suit, and just go work for corporate
ever
America?
Have that?
That's for sure. When I left the Hardins, I worked for House of Imports. I was 19 years old, mm-hmm. right out of high school. And I was working for a House of Imports, and AutoNation said, because they're a big corporation. AutoNation said, before we send you to Mercedes training, they're kind of nudging me to cut my hair. Mm-hmm. And I ultimately eventually cut it, and then I left House of Imports and I, you know, started working for the Hardens again. And by that point, my hair was already gone. But, you know, I really, once I did cut it, you knew immediately that it was the wrong decision.
Yeah.
Immediately
yeah.
that it was the wrong decision.
You know, I had a funny thing happen when I was first interviewing for work in the 90s. And I went and interviewed at Disney. And I walked into this guy that was. I was actually interviewing for like a design position at Disney, and I walked in, and the guy was looking through my portfolio of stuff, and it was nothing. It was just student portfolio, and there was a picture of me actually with a full beard, not with the white in it right now, but a full dark beard, and it was like a student. I think it was like American Society of Interior Design, like student project or something on a show house, right? In a showcase house, or it was like a Philharmonic house maybe or something. And he basically said to me, he goes, "Oh, yeah, nice beard. Yeah, good thing you shaved it." And then he proceeds to tell me, because he's the only one around here that gets away with that kind of stuff, and pulling out his ponytail from behind his back, right?
And it tucked like and that thing,
yeah, that thing just stuck with me, like, yeah, what a horse's, you know, whatever, yeah. backside, basically, yeah. trying to basically play that, you know, you're going to conform, but I'm a nonconformist. Yep. It was really funny. I don't know that I ever grew my beard to be basically, you know, controversial or anything like that. Yeah. It's just something I did.
Because they have strict policies on facial hair and stuff. Yeah.
But he still had his ponytail mm-hmm. in the back, and he actually used it in the interview process. Wow. You know, suffice to say that job didn't go anywhere. That, yeah. I didn't get that. But, yeah. So now I know, with that kind of background, especially with the you know, involvement early on with sports and so forth, it makes perfect sense that we this is very much part of your fabric of your life on a daily basis.
Yep.
But I also know that
I like
you're
how
also,
you work the word fabric into the
thank
conversation.
Thank you. But sharp. Every once in a while, you know, the analogies will work. But the other thing I do know also is that you're very involved in community.
That's for sure. You know, I was very, very blessed at an early age to be able to have been giving a campership to be able to attend summer camp at, 15 years old. You know, I was a freshman at Catella High School.
For those who don't know what a campership is.
I'll go into it for you. I'm just kind of leading into it a little bit for you. You know,
yeah.
painting the picture.
Paint away.
So I was given a campership, and a campership, Rad, is really... a scholarship to be able to attend summer camp through the Anaheim YMCA program. You know, when you go through summer camp, you have to, your parents have to pay, you know, $500-$600 to be able to send you to summer camp for mm-hmm. 7 days with the Y. And, you know, even in our program now, you know, a lot of those kids don't have, their parents don't have the extra $500-$600 to be able to send them to summer camp
yep.
for a week, you know. And I was very, very blessed at a young age to be able to receive a campership because my mom was a single mother at the time, you know, and didn't necessarily have the ends to be able to send me to summer camp, you know. And luckily, you know, I was able to receive a campership and go to summer camp and really meet some awesome friends from the other side of town that I normally wouldn't have run with. You know, they were from the Loera side, and you know, Catella and Loera kids didn't really get together very much.
So hold that thought, because I see Paul saying we've got to go to a break. But when we come back, I want to talk about that.
Okay.
Because that sounds like a pretty defining moment.
That's for sure. That's for
you.
Sure was.
And how many years ago was that, you'd say, when you first got that campership?
It was,
how old were you?
I was 15 years old, okay. So I mean, you know, long time ago. Yeah, long time.
So we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with cool. Brandon Moody.
Imagine what it would feel like to lose everything. Your job, your home, your family, your dignity. This has happened to thousands of the men, women, veterans, and young adults we serve at Working Wardrobes. What do we do to help? We provide career development services, life skills workshops, job skills training. We provide the perfect interview outfit, and we get clients placed in jobs. Call Working Wardrobes, 714-210-2460. Donate, volunteer, invest, hire.
When it comes to pioneers in their respective industries, we all know the Apples, Starbucks, and Trader Joe's of the world. In the realm of recruiting, Decision Toolbox is the industry's best-kept secret. With 90% of their business from referrals and repeat customers, for over 20 years, Decision Toolbox's U.S.-based team of recruiters, sourcers, professional writers, quality personnel, and tech support has perfected a Six Sigma approach to talent management. No matter the size of the project, Decision Toolbox delivers incredible results. A cost per hire less than half of what contingency firms charge, with the winning candidate presented in an average of 14 days, all with a 12-month candidate warranty. With results like that, Decision Toolbox won't be a secret for long. Visit us at www.dtoolbox.com for more information.
When you use the Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express, the rewards points can keep on multiplying. Buy three with triple points on airfare. Buy two with double points on gas and groceries. And a single point for pretty much every other dollar you spend on the card. Then, start choosing from over a million rewards to redeem all those points. Apply today and the annual fee for the first year is on us. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit axpgold.com. The annual fee for the card is $175. See terms, conditions, and restrictions at axpgold.com.
I was trying to pay Lady as a Tramp. I picked the wrong one here, but anyway. Little Tony Bennett to bring us in here, a little cool. I was trying to come up with that vibe, the Lady's a Tramp or something here, because I feel like a tramp when I was sitting with these guys here today.
You are a tramp. But it's okay, you know. Actually, he's more of a hobo than a tramp.
Hobo. I think a hobo. I like the hobo image here. Hobo Joe.
Hobos have a good...
We got to get you talking the mic, though, hobo. Uh-oh. What's he doing over here?
He's losing the mic.
He's losing out. I should have just kept playing commercials. So let's see if I can find the see if I can find the Lady as a Tramp here. Where am I looking here? Oh, there it is. Okay, here it is. Let's see if I can play this one instead here. From the great duets, Tony Bennett and Lady Gaga, the Lady as a Tramp.
Years and age, but united by the ability to sing cheek to cheek. Grammy winners today for Best Traditional Pop Album, Tony Bennett and Lady Gaga.
Live from the Grammys.
Yeah.
Oh, this is cheek to cheek here. I'm still getting the wrong one here.
Wow. Ryan. Heaven. I'm in heaven. And my heart beats so that I can hardly.
Wait till Tony starts.
Wait, is this going out live?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
We're running it right now. We're live, baby.
Dancing cheek to cheek.
Well, here he comes.
There he comes.
Here he comes.
Heaven. I'm in heaven. And the cares that hung around me through the week.
Think we can talk Dave into doing a Tony Bennett?
Could be.
There you go.
You know, I picked that because that shows kind of this modern return. Here's a guy, I don't know how old Tony Bennett is, late 80s, early 90s, and he's cooler, hipper, more popular than he's ever been. Here he is singing with Lady Gaga, certainly somebody who created her own wildly unique fashion sense when she sprang onto the music scene. And here she is doing a retro kind of vibe of the early one, him singing with Amy, the late, great Amy Winehouse, doing the same kind of stuff here. There is a real response to this bespoke Rat Pack, keep calling it the Rat Pack, the 60s, the cool guy image here.
Well, and I just want, this perfect segue, thank you, Paul. He always does that to me. He sets me up, so that's why he stays in the room. But he also owns the radio station, so that, you know, I don't have no choice. But... that's why it's bespoke style.com, not B-E, which is the way you would spell bespoke. Mm-hmm. You know, bespoke, like Brandon was saying at the beginning of the show, is basically the English, European, well, it's the English word for custom. United States, we do a lot of custom this, custom that. I guess we got sick and tired of using the word custom, so we started using bespoke.
Bespoken for.
Mm-hmm. And interestingly, that's on actually on the backside of my...
caller right now. Let's see. Bespoken for the man himself.
Bespoken for.
Yes, sir.
So I just want to give a shout out to Bespoke.
Yes, sir.
BespokeStyle.com.
Dave Welch, the man with the plan.
Dave Welch, the man with the plan. Absolutely. Great space off Red Hill. And if you guys want to check out their website again, it's Bespoke without the E, Bespoke.
style.com. Your style defines you.
Compliments so, free of charge.
Compliments waiting to happen free of charge.
Compliments free of charge. I like that.
And they
so you don't have to pay for
it. They want to partner with you to create the wardrobe that is reflective of who you are and how you live your life, not theirs. Fashion is not about what you wear, but how you wear it. Mm. And most importantly, why you wear it. And we'll talk about the three-button thing in a minute. That's a good segment.
And it's a destructive
They offer made-to-measure and ready-to-wear men's clothing. They're master clothiers, custom-built wardrobes to fit your lifestyle. They do full bespoke. Made-to-measure, ready-to-wear, men's clothing. And we will have an ad next time around, because this segment is going to be repeating once a month on the show. And we'll have some other people on here, just like Brandon is on today.
We're going to get stylish?
So we are going to get stylish. Oh, you goodness. Know, maybe we'll get Paul in a pocket square. I don't know. It might be too far-fetched. But we'll get him a T-shirt. We'll start him off with a T-shirt.
We got some bespoke hats floating around, too.
We need a T-shirt, Dave, for Paul Roberts here. You know, let's get him dressed up at least for the show.
Yeah. For sure.
So, again.
Got some cool members-only style leather jackets there for you, too, Paul.
I had one of those.
Actually, yes, they do. And Brandon, actually, we have a couple of hats. And Brandon, I understand the one that I picked that I wanted because I didn't want the ones that were there today. And I wanted that one. He goes, oh, that's Brandon's hat. So I was like, okay, yeah, definitely set me up for that one of those, right? Yeah. Black on black.
Nice and slick.
But
I was going to say, is it hard in Orange County? Because we are kind of surf and sun. We are extremely casual here in Orange County.
Again, you set me up perfectly, right? So you're talking about the fact that you don't necessarily need to be all buttoned up.
Yeah, you know,
Is that what you're saying, Paul?
You know, nowadays, exactly. Unless you're really attending something.
So what were we talking about? What were talking about buttoned up and buttoned down, Brandon?
So you're going to, okay, we're going to leak it on him right now?
Are you ready?
We're talking about the three button shirt, okay?
Mm.
So.
What does that mean?
Versus the two or versus the one, okay?
Clear.
So what we're talking about is how many buttons you have undone on your shirt, okay?
Bottom up or top down?
There's an article written on GQ or Esquire.
Mine are from the bottom up, right?
Something from one of the major publications, okay, that was written about the two button, okay? So the two button guy. So the guy that undoes two buttons out of his shirt, okay? So
like I have right here.
Like the two, like
two
seeing
button
the two buttons,
right?
Okay?
The two button, right?
So I was just explaining to Rad before we kicked off the show this afternoon. I said, hey, you know, I'm going to take it one extra step further, Rad. I'm going to go three buttons. I'm going to go a conscious three buttons. Okay? Just like you see here, okay? Because it sits right in line with my vest. Okay?
No, you had full justification for why, too.
Full justification.
It wasn't just this random decision.
So not only do I regularly work out my pectorals, okay? Shouts to my boy Dane Meekless, also one of the bespoke boys down the street there at work, Irvine. Okay? So not only do I regularly work out my pectorals, but I also feel that the angle of my shirt, the way that it sits, with three buttons is a lot more attractive than two. And if I were to go to one, then you'd see my buttons, just like a waiter, right? Like
right.
I'm your waiter.
Right,
you refill your water or something, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to take the conscious three buttons.
Uh-huh.
Conscious three buttons. If you see a little bit of chest hair, see a little bit of pectoral groove, whatever, it's on you. You know what I mean? So that's the new thing. I'm pulling the conscious three button out.
So are we saying the one button is waiter, two button is standard,
two buttons is like your standard Cali guy. Two buttons like your standard Cali guy.
Okay.
He's like the standard guy who's anti-tie and is trying to break the mold. But it's the standard tie guy. You know,
so can I ask you a question? So with the return of the three buttons open on your shirt.
No, this isn't a return. I mean.
This is not a return.
Okay, but
this is happening right here on the Rad Live. Brandon Moody has launched the three button down
movement. So will we also, this kind of reminds me of Boogie Nights, the 70s, the 80s.
It's so funny you say that. It totally reminds me of Boogie Nights too.
Will we also see the return of the Coke spoon around the neck here? No.
No, I don't think so. I don't think we're bringing that back. I think the ladies. I think there's a higher probability there, Paul, of the ladies bringing the roller skates back.
I think that's a higher probability. And if
like
the ladies don't bring them back,
roller skates coming back. I don't think the spoon's coming back. I think the roller girl. So I gotta ask the obvious question though.
Okay, I mean you're flaunting the three button down.
Yep.
Looks good.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Thank
no you. Problem. Not looking down your chest from here, but you know.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Does it require a vest, or can you do it without a vest?
I think it definitely requires a vest.
I mean, we don't want people just walking around with a three-button down, you know, just completely
exposed
without a vest.
Or a vest or a jacket, you know. You don't see Tom Ford walking around with three buttons down without a coat on or without a vest on. You know what I mean?
So, you, ladies and gentlemen, you've heard it here first.
That's it. And I think that a vest is a staple, too. I think that if you're going to, if nowadays, if you're going to walk around with an ensemble or feel like you have it going on or you have your stuff together.
Right.
And you're walking around with a shirt on without a coat or a vest on, then you're doing yourself a disservice as well.
And Brandon, didn't walk in here with a jacket. It's the vest.
It's just the vest.
Pants.
You know?
There's
vest,
no jacket.
I have a jacket for this ensemble, but you know, in sunny California nowadays, if you're sitting up at a conference or if you're sitting up in a, you know, talking on the radio, do I want to be sitting here with the coat on? Or I could easily dress it up and have my pattern flown. With
you got
the,
a vest on and your three button down.
And
what else do you
need? Magnani.
And your Magnani shoes?
Double monks,
a little product
I mean?
Placement
that's
for
it,
Dave Welch's Magnani.
You know? I think this is Gladson, too.
Is it
I'm
Gladson?
Not sure. Is this Gladson
yeah,
there?
Yeah,
I think it's Gladson as well.
Yeah. So,
but you forgot to wear
my boy
Troy. You forgot to wear your socks today, though.
No socks. No, and that's
a Cali thing, too.
We don't do socks nowadays. And if you are doing socks, you know, I suggest doing socks. I just suggest doing socks that you can't see, you know. I'm not saying, you know, put your sweaty toes all in the end of your Italian loafers, but, you know.
So, you know, I could sit here and talk about your three button down for the rest of the show.
Thank you.
I promised you I wanted to talk about your involvement in the community, and we left off where you said before the break that you had gotten a campership.
Campership to the YMCA.
And you were able to go.
Yep.
And so how has that shaped what you do today?
So I met key male mentors that really kind of paved the way of my dad taking a convenient break out of my life during my adolescence. You know, my mom and my dad were separated since I came back up to Orange County from San Diego. You know, I spent a lot of my young childhood in San Diego, and my parents got divorced at 10, 11 years old. I came up here, and I really was relying on really kind of other individuals to kind of pave that way to manhood, to kind of fill the gap of my father.
Not having your father there.
Mm-hmm. You know, now I'm blessed to have my father back in my life. But at that time, I really was relying on other individuals. And I met a lot of those key individuals through the YMCA camping program. And, you know, since then, I've been volunteering at camp for the past 7 years. And now serve on their board of directors at the Anaheim YMCA. So I give back to them. I think the most out of all of my organizations that I work with, because I feel like they have had the largest staple on my manhood, on the stepping stones that a boy has to jump across to become a man.
And, what an amazing endorsement for the YMCA. And I know the YMCAs all operate differently. We've had several of the executive directors for the different YMCAs. I believe we had the Anaheim one in here
a couple years ago. You've been involved with them from then.
Yeah, since 15 years old.
In one way or the other.
So I was a counselor in training for my big brother, Matt Barone, at the last year of Camp Bluff. Camp Bluff was the camp that was in the original Parent Trap movie back in the day with the aluminum roof on the camp there. So, yeah.
And what other organizations are you involved in?
So I also serve on the board of directors for Irvine Valley College Foundation. They're a foundation that provides scholarships to young adults to be able to bridge the gap of being a hardworking young adult and trying to be able to attend a 4-year university, which is out of reach for a lot of individuals. Mm-hmm. So a lot of individuals end up attending one of our South Orange County Community College schools, either being Saddleback or Irvine Valley College.
And we're fortunate
enough
to have a lot of them that are good in South Orange County.
That's for sure. IVC is number two in the whole state.
Yeah. And so, you know what, it really, I said it at the beginning of the show, and you just, you know, you, throughout the show, you've proved it. This is just an amazing group of people that I had the fortune to meet through Dave Welch and Bespoke. And these are all people that are giving back to their communities. They're involved in their own ways. They're pursuing passion as a career path or a, you know, let's say a money-making kind of endeavor, but they're also very much giving back. And this is a perfect example. I mean, you benefited from this. You hold it dear, and you basically share it with others, and you make things better for other people. That's, I mean, what a rewarding way to go, man.
That's for sure. You know, I really can't thank the Irvine Chamber of Commerce enough either. You know, they were a huge staple in my my growth as a professional and as an entrepreneur. And the Center Club. right across the street here from us. You know, I'm the former chairman of their young professionals mm-hmm. membership, and working with their young professionals and really assisting other entrepreneurs in helping them achieve places that may seem out of reach is
which is super critical. I mean, I think anybody who's doing that, because sometimes, especially if it's if they're pursuing something that is non-conventional, there's a lot more nays and you know, people that are basically trying to talk them out of it for whatever reasons. Be they, you know, trying to be negative or positive, trying to be supportive. But some people, you know, are pursuing a path that is not comfortable for other people. And, you know, having people like you out there that are basically encouraging and sort of a safe place for them to basically go and grow, that's amazing. What what's next for Mr. Brandon Moody, other than being a stay-at-home dad and loving every minute of it?
Man, so, you know, over the last year, I've really been working with a very exclusive team of individuals on their cryptocurrency journeys, okay? Cryptocurrency is Bitcoin, Ethereum, some of the digital currencies that you're seeing out there that are alternatives to using PayPal or Venmo or mm-hmm. MoneyGram. Been working with a select group of those individuals on really not only being able to understand the security measures needed behind securely storing your Bitcoin, your digital asset, but getting involved into even some of the trading aspects of that, some of the crowd sale type of VC style plays mm-hmm. of some of those funds, and even getting involved into helping some of those individuals who are business owners mm-hmm. starting to accept Bitcoin mm-hmm. and cryptocurrencies.
I know you and I talked about that.
For some of their services. So that's kind of one of the latest and greatest things I've been working on over the past year, is really kind of helping those individuals with some of my free time when I'm not with Jaden, to be able to navigate the cryptocurrency space.
And what did you feeling about cryptocurrency?
I feel it's the future. You know, if you think about it nowadays, even for the past decade, I know a lot of my friends who don't carry cash anymore mm-hmm. because they rely completely on credit cards.
Absolutely.
Or, you know, some type of digital payment feature.
Yep.
With the rise of PayPal and Venmo nowadays, if you were to scroll through your Venmo timeline, you'll see all your friends paying each other for bills and tabs and taxi rides and Ubers and all types of stuff mm-hmm. throughout the day. Mm-hmm. All that is a digital form of fiat currency that's mm-hmm. not backed by anything but debt.
Yeah, right.
So why wouldn't we be using anything else? Why wouldn't we be exchanging cookies or, you know, custom shirts or sport coats? You know, you want to give me a ride down the street, I'll give you a quarter of my sport coat. You know
So what's the hesitation? Why has it been kind of, there's been a resistance to it?
Because it's the unknown.
So it's the fear of the unknown.
It's the usual thing. It's in such infancy right now that if you were to go and try and send some Bitcoin off to somebody or send some digital currency mm-hmm. off to somebody, and you had one digit or one letter wrong mm-hmm. on their address, mm-hmm. then it's going off to some completely different wallet.
And there is no safeguards, basically.
And the fact that you can't pick up the phone and call or dispute a charge, that's the reason why people are holding back from getting on it.
Fascinating time in California, right? You got that going on. You got the whole thing with cannabis.
Yes, sir.
And payment and banks not taking it and all mm-hmm. this. It's fascinating. And it comes down to that human nature thing of basically a fear of the unknown, a resistance to the unclear.
That's it.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not enough individuals out there willing to just lend a helping hand. You know, not enough individuals out there.
To demystify the situation for people.
Yeah, 100%.
Help them through it,
I demystify the situation. You know, it's solely on an invite-only basis right now. It's not being advertised to the public or marketed to the public.
Right.
I'm just kind of giving you kind of a glimpse of the way I spend my day for the most part. Most of my days are woke up asking my son what he wants to do. And that ends up going to Disneyland or going to the zoo or hanging out at Bespoke, picking out fabric. Hanging out with Alyssa, having a cold IPA.
Or trying to get him on a private jet to take him to Sonoma.
Trying to get him on a private jet to take him to Sonoma like yesterday. If his mom would have let him go.
Until mom said no.
But, you know, that's the kind of stuff that I enjoy. You know, I also, I run a small team of athletes for a supplement company called Inspired Nutraceuticals. Really, we offer branched chain amino acids, protein, all the type of supplements that are really going to allow an athlete or even a nonstop dad, entrepreneur like me, to be able to continue going as fast as we go every single day. And that's also another one of my passions, is really making sure that all of our athletes know that I'm there for them. Mm-hmm. All of our athletes know that they can reach out to me should they have an event coming up, or should they have, they want to get a logo imprinted somewhere, or they need to get a new package out to them, or whatever it may be, you know, because our athletes are all throughout the country. You know, we have athletes up in Canada, we have athletes across the pond, you know, so really growing that brand and really building a supplement brand that is outside of your standard, hey, I do curls supplement brand,
right?
You know,
well, that's not, I it's super clear for anybody who knows you for a split second that that is not how, that's not what it is for you.
Yeah,
it's that constant challenge, you know. I think you're a serial entrepreneur, would it be fair to say?
Nowadays in my life, I would like to say that I'm somewhat of a serial philanthropist, because I enjoy giving back to others more than I enjoy working for a profit for myself.
Right,
that's for sure. You know.
Well, you know what? I can't wait. I can't wait to see the next chapter with you as your son gets older.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. We're really excited.
It's awesome.
It's an amazing thing to.
And your wife is. You guys are expecting.
Yeah, we are. You know, it's kind of really the first public leak that we've got. Thank you,
right, Rad. Here on the
Thank
show.
Thank you, Rad. But
the first
public leak there, Rad. Thank you. So yeah, you know, wifey's expecting. You know, we're stoked about that. We don't know whether
awesome.
It's a boy or a girl yet, but we're definitely excited about it. And
but we know it's going to be a cool kid.
It's going to be a cool kid. You know, he.
Any doubt?
You know,
I mean, look at
the one
guy.
Thing is that you know, Jaden didn't have to wait 16 years old until he was 16 to actually meet his tailor. He met Dave, you know, a few months ago. So
wow, right off the bat,
you know,
bespoke children's clothing coming soon.
Yeah, and you know, actually, I'm really, really. Kind of excited to leak the fact that Bespoke is now producing ladies' suits.
Yes,
which is a really cool thing.
Ladies' suits,
awesome,
Lady Gaga. She was
awesome
wearing
thing.
That.
Well, Brandon is an ambassador for Bespoke, so you know you're getting all the latest news right now.
I try to, you know, leak the important stuff on you guys for sure.
That's
for
awesome, sure. Man. I appreciate you taking the time to be
Thank
here.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
Honestly, a great kickoff to the segment. I can't wait to introduce some of the other guys to our listenership. But man, I had a great time with you.
Oh, and I'm telling you that the room visibly chilled when you guys came in here.
That's for certain.
Thanks, buddy, for being here.
Thank you, Rad.
Brandon,
awesome.
You have been listening to the Rad Life Radio Show with your host and age explorer, Rad Gontos, brought to you on the one and only OCTalkRadio.net. Join us again next week as we continue our journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older.